Welcome. This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. I'm here with you the next hour. We're going to talk about your money, your wallet's favorite show. Let's talk about IRAs, Social Security, and we can talk about securities or even annuities. You know, some people always hear this, like, gosh, everybody hates annuities. Why? Well, we could talk about that, too, because maybe they don't all hate annuities as well. 504-260-0995. I am your host, Gregory Ricks. Kind of crazy on everything going on with the tariffs. So that was kind of shrugged off today as well. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show on where we're going with that. Then we have North Korea. Are they keeping their word? Better question might be, do they know what their word is? Then we had pretty good jobs numbers today as well. So a lot of good news, and it just kind of goes with where we're trying to reset everything with other countries regarding trade. And Trump, you know, basically put out there, hey, this is the best time to do it. We're in really good shape. Well, we're probably going to have a really good GDP number coming out. We've had a great jobs number coming out, and it looks like we really do have a strong economy. The market is absorbing it well. And if there was a time to reset the trade tables, this looks like this is it. Might not be a better opportunity. When else would we do it? When the market's tanking, GDP has slowed, interest rates are much higher. Is that what you're looking for as a better time, or just to keep it as it has been going, where, for example, China's economy keeps growing and ours is on a downward slope? So how things were set 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, it is a different world today, and I think it needs to be adjusted. And it's a good time for it. Is it all going to work out perfect? No, but there's going to be some adjusting. I'll tell you that, and should get into a better situation. Or is it going to be fair? I've got this saying here, is it fair? Or somebody said, that's not fair. Well, gosh, life isn't fair. Most things aren't fair. But can we get to a situation that is palatable? Is that something we can tolerate? Can we go forward with that? It's not always fair, but it is something we can go forward with. Is it better than it was? It's not, it might not be the perfect scenario where you will call, oh, that's totally fair. The fair is what is acceptable, and does that create an environment that we can go forward with for the long term? That's what we're trying to get to, just trying to say everything's fair, everything's perfect. It is not going to be. No way whatsoever. So I've got some thoughts here on investing in real estate with your IRA. Something we've also talked recently about. On last night's show, we talked about prohibited transactions, using precious metals in your IRA. And basically, it comes down to if the U.S. Treasury produce the coin, then it can be used in your IRA. It's got to be produced by the Treasury. Simple rule right there. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium, those are generally the coins that you would want to use in that. Otherwise, you'll be deemed to have distributed that money from your IRA if you're using it in something that is prohibited as far as a investment there. So in regard to real estate, we're going to talk a little bit about that, some of the problems with that tonight. I've got a couple of comments regarding Social Security, a question here, and some interesting, bit of information today that I had never thought about it this way, but it's regarding spousal IRAs. And just be interesting when I share that little bit of information with you as well on a rule that I guess I've really never had a caller call about. When should I turn on the spousal? Can I defer the spousal? Could I wait till FRA to turn on the spousal? And I'll just tell you a little bit of the rule regarding that as well. Hey, I've got an event coming up July the 10th. Gosh, that's next week. Not much time, not many seats left for this event as well. That will be Tuesday of next week. So we're close to full. We may have been full by the end of the day. There's always cancellations, but I think there were a few seats left. And we're having a Gregory Ricks live event. And we're actually doing a wine, wisdom, and food pairing. So we're pairing wine and food along with financial wisdom. Going to give you some wine tips, foodie tips, but we're going to talk about your money, how to build multiple streams of income, how to properly accumulate assets, taking in consideration risk and tax efficiency as well. And we should be thinking about tax efficiency. If you've built up your retirement and 100% of it is in IRAs, you know that's taxed as ordinary income on distributions. In fact, when you turn 70 and a half, the government requires you to take so much out each year, and it increases each year. Even if you don't want to, there's a required minimum distribution. And once again, it's taxed as ordinary income. So that's some of what we're going to talk about on Tuesday night. We have Wes Blanchard is going to share some information with you as well about estate planning and give out a couple of tips that can help you go forward. And that's our objective throughout that event, is to have a great wine and food experience, pairing some awesome wine. And you know what the entree is going to be? It's at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, and it is worth the drive. If it takes you an hour to get there, that's good. It's going to be an awesome experience. You're going to learn about the money. You can kick the tires on my firm, get to know me a little bit better in person. You know, the guy you're always hearing on the radio. So call the office, 504-260. Well, that's the radio show number. Here's the office, 504-832-9200. 504-832-9200. Or go to gregoryricks.com. So investing in real estate. So I don't know what gets in their head, but this is just not a simple thing that you're going to start doing. And some people are already doing this. I was at a conference in Texas and turned on the TV and there was this infomercial going. I guess it's one of the 30-minute varieties there. And then they were kind of talking about using your IRAs as a focus for starting your real estate empire. And I was like, really? That can be dangerous. You know what? The question I get asked most is about taking money, taking a distribution from their IRA or 401k and using that to buy the property or pay off the property. Those are common questions, and that is a taxable event. You have to think about that. Oh, I'm needing to take out 100K, so that's on top of your income. Or you're saying, I need $100,000 to pay off or buy this property. So when you consider your income, spouse's income, investment income, what tax bracket are you in now that you add this distribution to it? What does that bump you up to? What tax bracket? You know, your tax on your adjusted gross income. So that could become very expensive. So you're, when you factor in taxes, you might need to take $130,000 out to net the $100K to pay off that property or make that purchase if you wish. And we need to find another way to do that, because the way I look at it, that just became really expensive because you pushed up the tax bracket and you had to take out 30 more thousand than you actually needed to. So I would look another way to do that, or how could we do it through tax bracket management? And that infomercial was kind of showing, hey, just buy it inside of your IRA. So, you know, one of the questions I get asked as well is, can I use my IRA funds to invest in real estate? So when we come back from the break, and I'm not going to start this until the next segment, but when we come back from the break, so we're going to talk about, can you use that? And we'll talk about how to buy real estate in your IRA. And then we'll start looking at problems with that, you know, financing, you know, custodian, you know, the capital gains and step up basis. Should you use a Roth as well to do that? Repairs and improvements. So there's a lot to cover the rest of the show. So we're going to be here till 8 o'clock. You can call and join the conversation, ask questions, live radio, and it's Friday. 504-260-0995. You're listening to Winning at Life with me, Gregory Ricks. Yeah, it's Friday. Happy Friday. Awesome weekend. I guess this continues the 4th of July week. You know, it's right there in the middle. And James and I was talking the other day. James Parker, the co-host, he's on assignment. He'll be back Monday. But he's like, which weekend is the 4th of July weekend? I said, both. All this started last Friday and continues through this next Sunday, right? The Daytona, the Firecracker 400, I guess it's called. There's a Daytona race, and it's part of always, if it was 4th of July on the weekend, it would be running. But that race is this coming weekend, or it's this weekend. So that's kind of a signal. That's an important weekend, part of the 4th of July continuation. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. This is the Daily Wrap. I do this every evening at 7 o'clock, give you an hour of financial news, financial talk, tips, ideas, answer your questions. Yeah, we're going to talk about Social Security in the show as well. I have a couple of pointers for you, but we're going to talk a little bit about real estate in your IRA. Can you use IRA? Did I give you the number? 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. You can email, text, call the show. And you could even connect to my daytime job through the app. Download it. There's a lot of cool stuff. It's a free download. And if you're wanting to attend my live event, you can access information through that as well as it'll tell you how to call the office and RSVP for that event Tuesday. There's a few seats left. Okay, can you use IRA funds to invest in real estate? The answer is yes, but I don't like it. I advise against it unless you really know what you're doing. However, if you want to diversify and have some of your IRA money invested in real estate, this might not be the best way to do it, because this might become one of those things that is maybe the best way to mess up your IRA. You could do real estate mutual fund, real estate ETFs. There's other ways to do that. It's like any other investment. It's generally free of problems. Detail below going that method. But other than that, buying real estate with IRA funds is kind of going to be a lot of possible problems out there for you. If you intend to have you or your family use any of this property personally, then the answer is no, because you're self-dealing. That's a prohibited transaction. You can purchase investment real estate with your IRA funds, but you'll end up with problems. Reason I'm addressing this is because of people might be adverse to the stock market or other investing tools and kind of think, okay, real estate's the best thing. Real estate has risk. How to buy real estate in your IRA? There's two ways to do it. Both of them present problems only because IRA investments are subject to rules not applicable to other investments outside of an IRA. The better way to invest may be a limited partnership that invests in real estate, commercial or residential, that you do not control or use personally, or a real estate investment trust or a REIT. And if you did that, I would want you to make sure it's a tradable REIT. You need to avoid non-tradable REITs like the plague. And one of the problems with them is they're illiquid. The other way is to have your IRA buy property and manage it, which I would never recommend, because you have to be so careful not to violate self-dealing rules. Problems with the real estate in your IRAs. And I'll give you an example of self-dealing. Individual I had talked to used his IRA to buy farmland. I think it was 120 acres he used the money to buy. And then later he sold himself 40 acres of that land. The IRA sold it to him. Well, guess what? That was prohibited. That was self-dealing. He can't purchase any of that land from the IRA. Okay, now that you're aware of prohibited transaction rules, which there's so many more, but just kind of gave you an idea of that, you may already see how they apply. For example, one of the rules is you cannot loan money to your IRA or buy property or to buy property or guarantee a loan taken by your IRA. You know, people will loan you money and they like collateral, but they also want a personal guarantee. That's problematic because you have to do a non-recourse loan. The property would have to be the sole collateral for it, and they can't come to you for any recourse. So it has to be a non-recourse loan. So that means that in order to buy real estate, say a building or some land in your IRA, you must pay cash unless the bank gives you a loan based on only the value of the property without requiring any personal guarantee to repay the loan. Therefore, generally, you must pay all cash to buy real estate with your IRA money. And you've got to have a ton of cash in your IRA to buy any decent property today. And of course, you could try to find a lender that will give you a non-recourse loan. Here's what most successful real estate investors do. This is how they've made their money, and they do so by leveraging their properties with mortgages, not by paying all cash up front and tying it up all of their available money. Look, I'm not saying that you cannot get a mortgage on the property purchased with your IRA funds, but who would give you one without a personal guarantee of you or a family member? And that is when the mortgage becomes a prohibited transaction and causes your IRA to cease and become, because then you're probably doing a self-dealing situation if you've done that case. The next thing is you're going to need a willing IRA custodian. You know, we custody assets, Fidelity Investments. They're custodians where IRAs are held, but they're not going to custody your real estate down the street that you're wanting to buy inside of that IRA. You'll need a financial institution willing to take that investment in your IRA. It has to be a prudent investment. Otherwise, you and the financial institution have violated your fiduciary obligation to make prudent investments with your IRA money. The IRA looks at you as a fiduciary because you have discretion and control over your money, and they don't want to mess up you to mess up their part, which is the taxable amount. They don't want to lose their money. So that's why you've got to get a custodian. The custodian doesn't tell you you're doing the right or wrong thing. They're just going to do the reporting to the IRS. And that signaled the IRS if you had messed it up. Okay, we've got a caller. We've got Michael from Mandeville on the Winning at Life hotline. Welcome to the show, Michael. Michelle. Hey. I'm sorry.
Michelle. How you doing,
I'm
Gregory?
Sorry. How can I help you tonight?
Okay, so this is my question. Once you reach full retirement age and you start to collect Social Security benefits, how much money, or is there a limit on how much income you can continue to make outside of that without being penalized?
Once you've reached full retirement age, FRA, is that what you asked?
Yes.
There is no limit on income. If you're taking it early, yes, there's a limit on income. But if you've reached full retirement age, say it's for example, yours is 66. Once you've turned 66, you can turn it on and continue working and making as much as you want.
And there's no penalization on Social Security. You still have to claim Social Security as income, though, correct?
Yes. It's going to be taxable income. Depending, I'm assuming because you're making money. So,
correct.
Typically, you're going to be at 50%. Then there's another level you reach at 85% inclusive, and the tables are different for single versus married. You'll be taxed. It'll be included in your adjusted gross income. However, you're not penalized for doing so.
Okay.
You're not going to take anything back. Okay, awesome.
That was my question.
Thank you, Michelle, for calling the Winning at Life hotline. Oh, now we're coming up on a break. Okay, great question there. And we've got a little more Social Security to cover before we wrap up this hour here. And I'm going to cover a couple of more points that you're needing to look out for regarding having real estate in your IRA. And we're going to say, you know, should you use a Roth to do this might be one of the things. And then who's paying for the paint? You're listening to Winning at Life. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome back. This is Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk Radio, the Daily Wrap, every evening at 7 o'clock. You can call, ask some questions, get that financial tip, whether it's regarding debt, mutual funds, Social Security, inherited IRAs, using your IRA to buy real estate. It's a crazy idea. I had somebody one time tell me they were buying a vending machine business with their IRA. I wonder if he ate any of the contents. That could be considered self-dealing because the IRA owned it and he's eating some of the inventory. That's ultimately self-dealing there. That violates his IRA. He has a fiduciary responsibility to protect the value of that account and he's eating it. The IRS wouldn't like that a darn bit. Okay, so next up, if you're using your IRA to buy real estate, any gains would eventually be taxed upon withdrawal at ordinary income tax rates. So you're being tax penalized now for doing so. There's no capital gain rates. There's no step up in basis. If you purchased a property with non-IRA money and held it for more than a year, your gain would be taxed more favorably as a capital gain. Also, a non-IRA investments receive step up in basis at your death. The heirs will not pay any income tax on appreciation during your life. But if they inherit an IRA with real estate, that appreciation does not receive a step up in basis and will eventually be subject to income tax at ordinary rates. That's a reason right there not to do it. Because investing in real estate with after-tax money has its advantages. How about a Roth? Is that a better place to hold real estate? A Roth IRA would be the better place to hold real estate since all future appreciation on that property would be tax-free. Inside a traditional IRA, the appreciation will eventually be taxed at what? Ordinary income tax rates. What about repairs and improvement? You're buying a beat-down property. What if you're needing to put more money into it? Some properties may be a real money pit. Not to mention taxes and other expenses to maintain the property. If the rental income does not cover it, you'd better have enough money in reserve in your IRA to fund these additional costs of owning property inside of your IRA. You can't pay it out of your pocket. You can't loan it to the IRA. You've created a prohibited event, might just blow up the whole IRA and create a big taxable event. So if you're going to do that, you've got to make sure you have a pretty good cushion inside of that account. And it doesn't end there. You're going to have, at some point, required minimum distributions. You know what point that'll be? That'll be when you're 70 and a half. Even a Roth IRA will eventually have RMDs when a non-spouse beneficiary inherits the Roth. So what does RMDs have to do with your real estate in your IRA? A lot. How will you be able to calculate RMDs? What's the value of your IRA? With real estate, it's anybody's guess, but if you guess wrong and withdraw less than your RMD, it's a 50% penalty. See, to find the value of your real estate within your IRA, you're going to need an independent appraisal, and you need to make sure it's a good, accurate one, because you don't want to use your brother-in-law. It has to hold up to the IRS's own appraisal if challenged. And this is a yearly expense and convenient, because the IRS wants to know what the fair market value of that real estate is in the IRA. So they're going to want you to do it every year. And then you've got to have cash for when you do have to take required minimum distribution starting at 70 and a half. And once again, they're still going to want an appraisal each year. Liquidity problems. How will you actually withdraw the property as an RMD? Real estate is not a liquid investment. Eventually, that property has to be withdrawn, but at a time based on life expectancy. See, if you own real estate in your IRA, it's going to be difficult to withdraw from it. For example, if you're 70 years old and your RMD factor is 27.4 years, then you'll have to deed 1/27th of the property that year to yourself from your IRA as a distribution, and do the same based on the new factor every RMD in the future, unless you have enough cash. So you're going to have liquidity. Real estate traditionally is a long-term investment and not as liquid as investing in stocks and bonds and other financial tools. There's never a guarantee that your real estate will perform better than the market over the long term. What about your beneficiaries? Are they going to be savvy enough to handle that? What about all these rules you've had to learn and avoid and all the self-dealing? Can they handle the real estate or other alternative investments in an inherited IRA? Yeah, and there, a non-spouse beneficiary is going to have to take RMDs based on their age. You may have passed and not reach the RMD point, which is 70 and a half. But when they inherit it, they have to start taking RMDs. Is there a liquidity for that? Is it set? Are they going to know what to do in that? So be careful. Real estate's illiquid. It eats money and is probably not the most prudent investment for a retirement account that is intended to provide you with income for the rest of your life. You know, it, when you talk about leveraging, and I think real estate business is a multiple property business. I think it should be treated as a business. It is a business. Is it going to be successful with one property, two or three, or 10? And at some point, you're going to not want to be involved in the water heater change out or the toilet breaking or the AC stopping. You know, who's going to handle that? Is it going to have the profit to do that? If it's in an IRA, you see these expenses that keep coming up. Somebody moves out and messed up your walls and your carpet. Your IRA's got to pay to put all that back. But even if you were outside of that, with age, is this something that you've done because you just have a few properties, or is this something you've built that is self-sufficient and is a sustainable business that it keeps going forward without your daily involvement? And I just think of that as a business. And with that said, I don't have rental properties. Not to say that I won't in the future, but that does take time, and that's something I don't have a lot of time. My time is focused on the thing that I'm good at, and that's this business in the financial world. I have a daytime job that I help people. I have several wealth advisors that work for my firm. We have a crack staff of support people, and I'm involved in meetings, money management, the guidance of the assets, and approval of the plans. So I'm kept pretty darn busy. And then in the evening, I have this evening job, host of Winning at Life, Live Financial Talk Radio. Have an event coming up July 10th. Oh, yeah, that's next Tuesday. It's at 6:30, Metairie, Ruth's Chris. You have to RSVP to attend, $10 fee. We're going to match it and donate it to a local charity. But guess what this event is? You're right. It's a wine, wisdom, and food pairing. So we're going to have some fun, give you some wine tips, some foodie tips, and we're going to talk about your money, developing multiple streams of income, creating tax efficiency. Wes Blanchard's going to join us for a few minutes and talk about some ideas regarding estate planning. It's darn sure going to be worth attending. Bring a friend, make sure you bring your spouse and come to learn and have some fun. It's going to be 6:30 Tuesday at Ruth's Chris in Metairie. Call my office, 504-832-9200, 504-832-9200. We have off hours team to answer your phone. You can call now, you can call tomorrow, call Sunday. I just suggest call now, get front of the list. It's going to fill up. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, me. This is Winning at Life, the daily wrap. Live Financial Talk Radio. Yeah, we do it every evening at 7 to 8. It's our show. Bring you up to speed on what's going on. If you want to join the conversation, ask that question. And a lot of people are waiting to hear that question because they don't want to do it. They're waiting for you to call and ask that question. It's true. 504-260-0995. Download the Winning at Life app. You can text us, email us, call us through the app. You can listen to the podcasts or previous shows. There's a dashboard. Oh, there's a photo album there as well. You can connect to with me at my daytime job, which I'm CEO, founder of Gregory Ricks and Associates. Yes, financial advice, money management firm. And the app's a free download. One-time login. Let's see, where am I at here? Social Security benefits. Yeah, I've been promising, and this is, we're going to cover over the next 10 minutes. But by the way, tomorrow morning, you like this show? You want a lot more of it? 3 hours. We have Alicia Nugent-Freeland joining us in hour two. Yes, the show starts at 10. We go to 1 p.m., live financial talk. She's going to be discussing real estate, and gosh, we've got a lot of stuff to cover other than what I've covered here today. We'll probably do more Social Security stuff, maybe a little bit of IRA stuff in a different way, but we're going to talk about the jobs numbers. We had 213,000 jobs added on the report this morning. Unemployment rate is at 4%, and you said, what? It's gone up. Yeah, it went up 3.8%, but we have a lot of people coming back into the workforce. So this is a positive thing. So we'll talk more about the details of that tomorrow morning at in the 10 o'clock hour. So yeah, we go 3 hours of live financial talk on Saturdays as well. You know, a lot of stuff to talk about. Okay. Now, why delay claiming your Social Security benefits? Why claim if the average person will get the same take from Social Security regardless of when they claim? Most people will not live out an average life. Yeah, we're not given any guarantee. Some are going to live longer. Some may live longer than they want to just because of health and such. Meaning health problems on the back end, and they're like, oh, I didn't sign up for this. Some people are going to move on before, earlier than the average. One of the things we look at is when you turn 65 as a couple, when you both have turned 65, the gap between both of you narrows to about 3 years difference, meaning the female's going to outlive the male by about 3 years. Life expectancy for the male is about 89 years of age, and the female is about 92, and that's an average. Some are going to live longer. Bunch aren't going to quite make it there. So delayed claiming is generally the better bet. Delayed claiming means you're waiting to turn on Social Security, and there's two reasons. The first is that by delaying, you will lock in a permanently increased benefit for the remainder of your life. Yeah, it's true. You'll receive fewer years of checks. But get this, you're going to have more income advanced ages and years when you are more likely to need that money. It doesn't mean that's the answer for everyone. But we would like more income when we need it. So why are you turning it on while you're working? Let's defer it. Deferral is 8% a year of growth up to age 70. I have some people like, well, what if I turn it on and start investing it? I ask them, can you beat an 8% return? Guaranteed? They said, no, where are you getting that? Well, that's what you get by waiting to turn on Social Security. It grows, it defers 8% a year. See, once again, you're going to receive fewer years of checks, but you're going to have more income at advanced ages. Think of this as longevity insurance. You know, what are you placing a bet on? Dying soon or living longer? Think you should be placing the bet on living longer because you're going to be glad you did. The second reason applies to if you're married. The amount of survivor benefit depends on two things. When the decedent took his benefits, and two, when the widow claims the survivor benefit. In other words, if John delays his benefits to 70 and Jane survives him, Jane is eligible to receive his maximum benefit as her survivor benefit. A widow is far less likely to grow poor in old age if her late husband had delayed his benefits. You know, if you love your spouse, you'll wait. You know, remember, that's kind of my theory, but we always will go to the math. Planning is done based on each person and how it correlates to assets, married, health. There's a lot that comes into this equation as well. So just think about that. Let's see. Now we've got a caller. We've got just a few minutes left, and I've got to get to that one tip that I want to make sure you understand here about spousal benefits. Let's welcome Chris from Kenner to Winning at Life Radio.
Hey, Gregory, how are you?
Doing great. And you?
I'm doing well. So I'll be at your dinner on Tuesday. Didn't know if I'd have the opportunity to ask this question, so I'm asking it now. So I'm a college student, 22 years old, already started my 401k with the company I'm working for right now, but don't know if I should stay in a traditional 401k or invest in a Roth IRA. Do you have a suggestion for someone my age trying to, you know, plan and save now for retirement?
If you're doing inside your 401k and doing the traditional 401k, there's a tax benefit because you're putting the money away pre-tax, so it reduces your tax liability. If you're putting it in a Roth inside of that 401k, that's after-tax contributions. So one of the things you could think about doing is your contribution goes into the Roth and the match goes into the traditional. But also you have to consider you're young. You've got a lot of years ahead of you. Imagine just piling up tax-free income-generating assets. And that, you know, when you're starting this early, just an average return and it compounding for the next 40 years is just... you have the opportunity to grow a ridiculous amount of money, and we might think of it as ridiculous now, but then it might not be so much with hyperinflation and whatever else happens down the road. But I would look for tax efficiency in that process. Does that help you,
okay,
Chris?
Yes, that helps me a lot. I appreciate
awesome.
That.
Awesome. Look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
All yes,
right,
sir.
Chris.
I'll see you then.
Okay. Let's see, back to the tips I was going to give you. Under new deemed filing rules established by the Budget Act, a spouse who had not attained age 62 by the end of 2015 must add on the spousal excess as soon as she becomes entitled to it. She cannot wait until FRA to maximize spousal excess. What am I talking about? It's, let's say she doesn't have much benefits on her work record and she went ahead and turned it on, and her spouse did not turn his on yet. Once he turns his on, she has to go ahead and turn on that spousal access. She cannot wait to deem it, because otherwise you're giving up money, because our Social Security is going to go back and add that to it based on when you were eligible to receive it. So you cannot deem. You have to turn it on when it's eligible. A lot of people don't know that. They're thinking, oh, I'll just wait and get that extra when it's worth more. No, you're going to have to take the discount on that. You've been listening to Winning at Life. Join us tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., same place, same stream, same air feed. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. See you tomorrow.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.